بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We praise Him عز وجل for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir, this third day of Ramadan. Today being a Monday, the day of Ramadan, 1,438 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we are still reading Surah Al-Imran, and in Surah Al-Imran we read up to the 114th verse yesterday. Am I correct? Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will conclude it today and continue from there. Bismillah ta'ala. But before we continue, I talked about a book yesterday when we were talking about knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I recommended it to brothers and sisters to get it and read. Fortunately, somebody sent a link through which you can actually get the soft copy. Immediately I was mentioning it because this program is transmitted live, so somebody who was listening to it from a country, I don't know where exactly, just immediately as he heard it, he sent it. So our brother Sheikh Umar, you can get it from him. You can get the soft copy in case the hard copy is not readily available. But this is the book, Who is Allah? It's very comprehensive. It's a very, very good book, and it's well researched. And alhamdulillah, it is, insha'Allah ta'ala, to the standard of the sunnah. And it's written by this, who is Allah, is His names and attributes and their significance to the individual. Allah, asma'uhu wa sifatuhu. It's written by Ummu Abdul Rahman Sakina. I don't know how to pronounce her surname. Hirschfelder or something. This is the book. If you are able to see it in any bookshop, I recommend it. You buy it. And there are many other books that have been written to explain this matter, but I chose this one because it's the most authentic one I have come across as a translation. This is about the most authentic one I have seen, and alhamdulillah, I know that it will be very useful, inshallah. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest and most important knowledge any human being can get. That's why Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the greatest chapter of the Quran, teaches you about Allah. And it's your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strictly what it discusses. Ayat 3 is the greatest verse in the Quran, and it's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ikhlas is one third of the Quran, and it is talking strictly about Allah. So you can see, anything that teaches you your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contains the greatest knowledge you can ever obtain. And so it's very important that we pay attention to it. It's a mistake people make when you concentrate your da'wah on Ikhlas, on Tawheed, on Aqeedah. People say, leave Aqeedah. Aqeedah is an issue that puts us apart. Let us embrace those issues that bring us together. But that is contrary to the Quran and Sunnah, because the Quran and Sunnah says we can only unite through the Quran and Sunnah. Those are the only things that can unite us. If we do not unite through the Quran and Sunnah, it is not unity. And so it's very important that we know. I recommend this. if you can get it. If not, at least you can get the soft copy. And inshallah ta'ala, I know that will do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the author and all those who were part of his publication, and also anybody who supported at least by reading it, either buying it and reading it, or at least reading it anyhow, and implementing what it contains. Because inshallah ta'ala, that way the author will also gain from what you have done. The reward you obtained, you also obtain. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that possible. We're reading Surah Al-Imran. In Surah Al-Imran, we read the 114th verse yesterday. That's the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So, he says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They believe in Allah and in the last day. We talked a little about believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in the last day. Believing in the last day has to do with believing in the things that will happen that will be a prelude to the last day, to the last hour. All the things are predicted, the minor signs and the major signs. Part of belief in the last day. That if you see some signs, this, and that, then it means that the last day is near. For example, when the ulama are dying and the people that are left are the ignorant people. The ulama, those who are very knowledgeable, are dying. And we're seeing it every day. We saw how Sheikh Mahmoud Jafar Mahmoud Adam died in Nigeria. We saw how Al-Albani, rahimahumallah, how they died. Those were in their prime. You know, they were most loved by their listeners. And that was the time that they were actually very, very useful to the Ummah, and people were benefiting from their knowledge. And if you were to compare them to most of their other peers, you would find that they stand out, these two, and they were killed, one after the other. Others are dying through illness and so on, but they were losing young people, vibrant people, very knowledgeable and pious people, people who put their knowledge to practice. Alhamdulillah, as much as we can see, they are dying. And then the rest of us who know nothing and make no effort to know anything are the ones that are surviving. You find that the ashrar, the rotten people live up to 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. You ask them, what is the secret of your long life? You say, I'm a vegetarian. You say, I'm a vegetarian. And I read a lot, I play but not too much, I do this and that, and that's why I'm living so long. Subhanallah. What of the boy that was born and he died immediately? Did he avoid meat, or did he eat too much meat? Or was it that he didn't do any exercise, that's why he died? The infants that die, some that die in their mother's womb, some that die immediately after being given birth to, some that die a year after. What is their own offense? How careless were they? So it is people like this that continue to live. Look at an ex-president of this country. At the time, his son accused him of sleeping with his wife. You know? His son accused that old man of sleeping with the son's wife. And that man is about 90, over 80, and he still can jump. He can move around, he can dance, he's very healthy, he has never been ill. When you see the ulama, they're dying at 40, they're dying at 35, they're dying at 60, they're dying at 50. Some are 50, they're already looking old. This is fitna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a sign that Qiyam al-Sa'ah is approaching. It is people like that that will be living. But the learned people will be dying. Even if they live long, they will die and die and die. But most of them do not even get to live that long. will be losing them, and then the ignorant people will be remaining. And those ones will last. Those ones everybody will listen to. Those are the ones that get so rich quickly and everybody knows about them. The ignorant. The ones who live, strive on only sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives them a lot of money. Look at these footballers. Look at these musicians. Look at these homosexuals today. They are becoming very popular. Atheists. People who do not believe in Allah. Who take pride in attacking the Quran every day. These are getting popular. They write books. They insult Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They attack religion. They commit all sorts of sacrilege. And then they win prizes. They win awards. They get laurels. They become Nobel laureates. Some of them win some other laurels. They win high prizes. They write about atheism. They write about homosexualism. They write about sex. They write about violence. And they get $1 million. Some of them will get $100,000. There is one that wrote a book in which he was talking about zina between an old woman and a young man. That is what he concentrated the book on. He wrote a whole novel, and he is a Muslim. They picked him from among the other non-Muslims, and they gave him $100,000 as prize. You know, some other people will write, there is a brother, may Allah have mercy on his soul. He translated Al-Manzumatul Bayquniya. And he did even a commentary on it. Very beautiful commentary. And he was so rich. He brought it one time, we were having tafsir, and I presented it to brothers. Some here know him. He was once in your staff school, then he moved to, I think, Al-Amin. Allah, I understand he is late now. May Allah have mercy on his soul. That one wrote that book, he didn't get 50,000 naira. Not even 50,000 naira did he get. In fact, I'm talking about it now, most people here do not even know the book. But somebody writes about sex, he makes $100,000. Some make $100 million. A musician was made the Nobel laureate for literature. A musician, he writes music, he sings, he plays drums, he plays piano, plays guitar, and so on, and he's the Nobel laureate. How much did he get? How much does the Nobel laureate get when you win that prize? $1 million. That's what will be happening. One of the signs that the Qiyamah is near. So if you believe in the Qiyamah, in the Yawm al-Akhir, then you will take cognizance of this and always work realizing that these are signs that the hour is near, and so you'll be more careful and you always be prepared for death, and you always be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich you with shahada, or at least kill you before the fitna gets worse than this. That's one of the signs that you actually believe in Qiyam al-Sa'ah. And then of course you believe in the other signs. That is one sign we have enumerated. There are many other signs. The other is that work will be very little. Speech will be more. Some people will come today, give a speech, one speech, 1 hour, and they get $100,000. Some get $10,000. Some get $1,000 for just 1 hour of speech. And if you ask, what hadith did they quote? Not one. What Quran did they quote? Not one. They're just playing with words, and then they get so much money. They get so much recognition. They come to campaign and everybody knows them. And they tell you sweet nothings. When they are elected, they can't do any of the things that they said. But people are more interested in speech. But the good people, those who have shown example from the way they have conducted their lives, those ones will not be popular. Nobody will like them. Nobody will care about those. We are more concerned about those who are deceptive, those who will deceive us with speech and so on, but no action. من أشراط الساعة أن يرفع الأقوال ويخزن الأعمال. And then ويقرأ بالقوم المثنى أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. That is one of the signs also of the Sa'ah. And there are many, many, many others. Like we know they exist in a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So then the major ones, especially the coming of the Dajjal, you believe in all of those. And then the things that have been said about al-yawm al-akhir, the fact that we will all be resurrected, you believe in that. This belief is affected in some people, in the sense that some ask. Because one of the things that qualify you as somebody who believes in al-yawm al-akhir is your belief in what happens in the grave. The fact that there will be a life in the grave. And then from there people will be resurrected. Is also one of the signs. Now, they say when you're in the grave, somebody will already know how his akhirah will be in the grave. If it's punishment, he will see a part of it there. If it is joy, if it is Jannah, he will see a sign from the grave. He will be in ni'mah in the grave. And somebody will ask, if you say there will be punishment in the grave, what happens to that person who was burnt to ashes? Whose corpse was never found? He was never buried in any grave. What will happen to such a person? Once you begin to reason like this, this is affecting your iman in al-yawm al-akhir. This is already affecting your iman. Because in the first place, my brothers and sisters, when you say belief, when you say Islam, you are not talking about the strength of your own reasoning or the level of your logic. Because we know that our logic most of the time is like dust that is blown by the wind. A lot of things that philosophers have said have been shamed. Even some proverbs that people believed in so much, the realities now have shamed those proverbs that you have seen them disappear. They no longer have any relevance. These are the thoughts of human beings, and Allah has caused them to waste to show us that the human being is imperfect. And so anything that comes from the thinking of the human is imperfect and it will come to pass. Only Allah. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So if you use logic, you are a failure. If logic, and only logic is what you use to believe in Islam, then you never will be a believer. Because al-Islam is al-Istislam. It is submission to the will of Allah. It's not submission to your reason. There are some nominal Muslims today that will say, what matters to them is reason. That's what appeals to them. What appeals to their reasoning is what they are concerned about. So they are not concerned about scripture. And the way they measure scripture is, if it coincides with their reasoning, fine, it is good. But if it does not tally with their logic or reasoning, then they question the text. They say, you are free to question it. But believing in al-yawm al-akhir is completely submitting to what Allah has said about it. Now if you say somebody whose body was burnt to ashes does not have a grave, we're now asking, what do you think the grave is? Do you think it is only that hole that people dig? If it is, did you bury the person's soul? Did you bury it in that ground? Have you ever buried somebody's soul? Have you ever been part of the people that will bury any corpse? Did you get the soul to bury? Where did it go? Where did you leave the soul? You left it outside the grave? Huh? Where did you leave it? It is the soul that is the human being. When you go to the grave after some time, you won't see anything there. That body has disappeared before your naked eyes. And you think there is nothing happening there because you can't see anything. But if you reason like this, you are a miskin. If you think anything you cannot see does not exist, you're making a big mistake. You mean that every reaction on earth that has happened that is not reversible, you mean you will say that it never happened because you can't see it again? Is that what it means? Every reaction that took place on earth that is irreversible, it has gone, you can't see it again. Does it mean it didn't happen because you didn't see it? Will you say it didn't happen because now you can't see it? It happened in your grandfather's time. Now you can't see it again. Will you dismiss it and say there is nothing like that? It never happened. Why do you read history? It means there are some things that have passed you by. You can't see them. You only hear about them and yet you believe. All of us now, we tell the history of Hitler. Did we see him? I don't know if there is anybody here who was alive when Hitler was killing people. Is there? I'm not sure. But even if there are people who were alive, they didn't see him. Did they? Maybe Colonel was alive, but did you see him? You didn't see him. Maybe Prof was alive, but he never saw him. He just probably heard about him, but he never saw him. But he believes in him. Why does he believe? Because you read about it. It's been recorded that it happened. And that's the only thing you see. But you believe that. But then you say you can't believe that there's punishment in the grave. Because your naked eyes can't see that. You know there are things on earth that even in the laboratory you cannot see, yet you believe they exist. The law of karma. The law of karma. Do you see it in any lab? Does it manifest in any laboratory? You know the law of karma? Huh? Retributive justice. You know it? That what you do comes back to you. Huh? If you live by the gun, you die by the gun. That's a layman's way of looking at it, isn't it? That's the law of karma. You die by the gun if you live by the gun. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Do you? If you don't believe, many people believe it. Huh? And we know, even the Arabs say, Kama tadinu tudan. Huh? Okay, but then, do you see that? Do you see it in any lab? Do you perform any experiment and see that happening? You don't, but you believe it. Maybe it has never even happened to you, but you believe it. So, but then you say some other things you wouldn't believe until you see with your naked eyes. You know, somebody came to the Prophet ﷺ and said something similar. You mean this bone? It was very beautiful. It had life. Now it's just a piece of bone. And it gradually it decays in earth. And the earth eats it up and nothing of it is left. There was a beautiful skin that covered it. There was flesh. There were veins. There were this, there were that. Huh? There were nerves and all that. There were eyes, they are all gone. There were ears, they're all gone. There was a brain, it's now rusty. In fact, it has decayed. It has decomposed. It has become sand. You mean that Allah will bring that back to its former form? Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said yes, he will bring it back and then he will put it in hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطُفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قل فيها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم. So if you say you do not believe, Allah says, look at the human being. When you were created, you don't know how those things were assembled. You don't know how you were assembled. You know that you were just a drop of sperm. If we were to give you sperm and say convert it to a human being, build flesh in it, build veins in it, build ventricles in it, build nerves in it, build brain in it, build thought, build a mind inside it, you will never be able to do it. That thing existed like that and you say it came from nowhere. And then I'm telling you that this pair of glasses came from nowhere. And you say I'm a madman. It had to be made. This pair of glasses had to be made. It couldn't have existed on its own. But a whole human being, as sophisticated as the human brain is, it just existed by accident and it will just die like that and everything ends there. Habba. And you say you believe in the law of karma. So some people kill human beings and just die and they have gone like that. So where is their own karma? Where does it come from? It will come on the day of resurrection. Huh? It will come. So you have to believe in the day, in the last day. اليوم الآخر. يؤمنون بالله. What is it? يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ويأمرون بالمعروف. And they enjoin the doing of good وينهون عن المنكر, and they forbid the doing of bad. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الإمام الشافعي says, if Allah had not revealed any verse, any chapter except this one, it would suffice. These are the conditions you have to meet. And these exactly are the things that are almost repeated in this ayah. That to be a mu'min, you have to first of all have knowledge. That's إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أي إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَلِمُوا. Those who have knowledge. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And then that's another part of Iman. Al-amal al-salihat. They have to follow. You have the knowledge and then you practice what you know. And in practicing what you know, particularly you have to tell others what you know. You have to preach the gospel. You have to preach the Quran and Sunnah. You have to call people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And then you have to forbid the doing of evil. This is where enmity comes between you and people. If you are a believer and you just pray and fast, you say your istighfar, you do your adhkar, you do your la ilaha illallah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, and you do not care about anybody that's doing evil, the evil people will say, wallahi, your Islam is good. If all Muslims would be like you, wallahi, the world will be in peace. This one has no problem at all. Doesn't care about what anybody does. Eh? You know, the Yorubas will say, you are an abaya. Did I call it correctly? You are out there. Eh? You just worship and you stay there all alone. You just do your thing and you don't care what any other person does. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were like that, how would you have become a Muslim? Huh? You know, the Hausas will say you are a hoo-hoo. If the Hausa man says, kay hoo-hoo-ne, you are a hoo-hoo lahu, or hoo-hoo ma'ahu. Is there any Hausa person here? If the Hausa man says you are a hoo-hoo ma'ahu, you tell him to withdraw that word. You know, it was said that somebody insulted Fulani man and said, look at his head like donkey. So they were joking with each other, so the Fulani man took it easy. So one day he was going home, he saw a donkey that had delivered, and he looked at the kid. So he came back with his machete to that man and said, the other day you said my head is like that of a donkey. Do you mean the kid or the mother? Say, if the man had said the kid, they would have killed him. Because he saw that the kid, he saw the head, the forehead was like this. Said, what? Is this what this man said I look like? So the man said, no, I mean the mother. I said, hey, God has saved you. So he said, God has saved you. Because the man knew what he had seen. Since he said he had seen the kid of a donkey. So which one do you think I am? He said, no, the mother, not the kid. So actually, if you just say, you believe, you do your own, and every other person should do his own. And you know, the Sufia would say, they misinterpret. They do a very wrong exegesis of an ayah. What do they say? Alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrukum man dalla idha hadaytum. That to you, your actions, just be responsible for yourself. Don't care about any other person that is lost. As long as you are guided, don't care about them. Don't preach to anybody. Just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says you must call others. Allah himself said you must call others. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. I swear by the time. The time is what decides whether you go to Al-Jannah or you go to Jahannam. Because of the importance of the time, Allah swears by the time. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. إِذَا is time, is the period. And Allah is swearing by it. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالِ النَّعَشْرِ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by those. They are all periods. Because of the importance of time in the life of a Muslim. And then he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Wallahi, by Allah, verily, the human being is in a state of loss. لَفِي خُسْرٍ is لَفِي جَهَنَّمْ. لَفِي جَهَنَّمْ. أو إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي كُفْرٍ. That's خُسْرٍ. لَفِي كُفْرٍ أو لَفِي جَهَنَّمْ أو لَفِي عَذَاب. Ulama have said all of these. هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So that's the kafir. بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ. أَخْسَرِينَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. He says, except, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who seek knowledge. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And act upon the knowledge that they have sought and obtained. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That's what this ayah is also reiterating. To be the mu'min, to be different from Ahlul Kitab. You know, we're talking about the Ahlul Kitab. To be different from them, to be the good ones, you have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in the last day. And then you call others to believe in what you believe. You want to go to Al-Jannah, you want it for another person. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويسارعون في الخيرات. And then when it comes to doing good, you don't waste time. When it's time for salah, you get up immediately and perform that salah at that time. Anytime you need to know something, do not waste time. Pursue that knowledge to any distance to make sure you get to know the thing. Don't postpone. Don't say, okay, tomorrow if I leave, I'll go and seek that knowledge. You may not leave till tomorrow. And Allah will ask you why you did not obtain that knowledge. Any good thing you have to do, do not waste time. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. So if anything is good, do not waste time. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, in a hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, some ulama have said it's not authentic, but some have authenticated it. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ. This hadith may be Hassan, from all that has been written about it. If it's not Hassan, the meaning of the hadith is good, it's sahih, because it's been supported directly or indirectly by many other ahadith. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says there are three things that should not be delayed. One of them is, if you have a young man who needs to get married, get him a wife, get him married. If you have a young girl who deserves to get married, get her a husband, get her married. وَالْأَيِّمُ إِذَا وَجَدْتَ لَهَا كُفْأَ. And then al-jinaza. Al-janaza or al-jinaza, which one? Which one refers to the corpse? Huh? The corpse. If you have a corpse before you, you are sure it's a corpse. It's not that the person fainted. That's why we need experts amongst us to assure that, yes, this person is dead, so that you don't go and bury somebody alive. Because that will be murder. I was told that some people went to bury one, somebody like that. And then while they were preparing the grave, the corpse moved. So somebody from amongst those who were about to bury him took up his machete and said, Irani, you will not come and punish us. And he hacked him, believing that that was a spirit coming to disturb them. But he committed murder, because the person probably just fainted, but they weren't sure, they just went to bury him. And there are so many people that are buried like that, because they misunderstand this hadith. This hadith says, if you have a corpse, so what tells you it is a corpse? You have to leave it to the experts. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you do not know, leave it to those who know. We have doctors amongst us. Why should we be playing the roles of the doctors? Give it to the doctors. Is he dead? Let's be sure he is dead. If he is dead, then bury him immediately. Don't waste time. You have nothing to do with the corpse in your midst. What's the third one? A prayer whose time has come. If it's time for salah, don't waste time. 12:35 sometimes is time for zuhur. Some people wait till 2:20. They say no, they will not pray until it don't dawn. You know, in Nigeria, when you say it don't dawn, when it don't dawn, well. So they don't want to eat half dawn. So 12:35 is time, but no, they will leave it till 2, so that by that time it is properly done. Are you going to eat it? The time it is done is the time that it is time for salah. That is when Allah loves it most. So, as-salatu li waqtiha. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, ayyul a'mali afdal? He said, as-salatu li waqtiha. When it's time, immediately it's time, get up and perform salah. وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. So anything that is good, anything that's the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not waste time concerning that. Be in a hurry to do it, so that even if your life were to be taken now, you would have fulfilled at least that. And this is an attribute of a pious person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us amongst them. And Allah says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. These are from amongst those who are called the pious. So if you do not do any of these, you are not a pious person. No matter how ascetic you are, no matter how devout you are, because they will say some people are devout Muslims. He's a devout Muslim, but he is not fanatical about it. He is not a fundamentalist, but he is a devout Muslim. What does it mean to be devout? What does it mean to be a devout Muslim if you are not a fundamentalist? You do not care about the fundamentals of Islam, yet you are a devout Muslim. You are a Democrat, but you do not care about the fundamentals of democracy. Is that permissible? Do the Democrats allow that? They don't allow that. If you say you practice democracy, they say you must believe in the fundamentals of democracy. But if you believe in Islam, do not believe in the fundamentals of Islam. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم. That's what they're doing. So you believe in Islam as a whole. You practice it to the best of your ability. Because even Allah says, لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم. If you are guided, you can't be guided unless you believe in all of this. Unless you preach, unless you do the good deed, you preach to others and you're patient, you persevere. Even when you are persecuted because you stand on the truth, you don't mind. What you are concerned about is the pleasure of Allah. إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكرا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نظرة وسرورا اللهم اجعلنا منهم. So that's how to be pious. That's how to be a good Muslim. That's how to be the opposite of the Ahlul Kitab. So Allah says, وما
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما تفعلوا من خير فلن يكفروه والله عليم بالمتقين.
Allah says, وَمَا تَفْأَلُوا or وَمَا يَفْأَلُوا. وَمَا يَفْأَلُوا is the one we recite. بِرِوَايَةِ حَفْصٍ. بِرِوَايَةِ وَرْشٍ وَمَا تَفْأَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Huh? Somebody is already correcting. Says, يَفْأَلُوا, not تَفْأَلُوا. There is تَفْأَلُوا and there is يَفْأَلُوا. Huh? وَمَا يَفْأَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ or وَمَا تَفْأَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Any of them, inshallah ta'ala, is authentic. وما يفعلوا من خير فلن يكفروه. قرأ حمزة والكسائي وحفص. إمام حمزة, who has Khalad and Khalaf as his ruwat, الكسائي and حفص, who is from العاصم, الكوفي, they all recite it with الياء. وما يفعلوا. Ah, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those ones that are ummatun qa'imatun. Whatever they do, whatever they do. You understand? That is what now? They is, huh? What person? First person? Huh? Third person. Good. وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Huh? Then وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا is what? Second person. What you do. If you say وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا, it goes back to أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. That is, those ones that were Ahlul Kitab, they now embraced Islam, they stood upon the path of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their Islam and praised them for their faith. So those ones, whatever it was they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste the reward. Even when they were not yet Muslims, if they did any good deed, like they fed the poor, they helped somebody who was needy, they did some good things, humanitarian service, while they were non-Muslims, they now embraced Islam. All those things they did, which would not have been rewarded, will now be rewarded and counted for them as reward, even though they did them as non-Muslims. Because now they have become Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert them to rewards. So if somebody embraces Islam, he actually gets more reward than those of us born in Islam. Because he gets a reward for the things he did even while he was a Christian or Jew. And then he also gets a reward for what he does as a Muslim. So if you say, after all, you just embraced Islam, it's not as if you were born in Islam. So what? So what? He's better than you now if you don't know. There are some people who still make that mistake today. They still want to brag to them and say, I was born in Islam, you just embraced Islam yesterday. But he is better than you, brother, because he gets more reward than you. He believed in Nabi Isa at that time alone. He gets a reward for it. He believes in Muhammad now. He gets double reward. Do you understand? Because now that he believes in Muhammad, he combines it. He was that and he was this now. The fact that he embraced Islam and left that way, Allah is pleased with it, and he gives him double reward. So وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا, whatever they do, which is a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste it. the likes of Abdullah ibn Salam and the rest of people like him. Do we understand? If you say, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ, you Muslims, he's talking about the Sahaba, you who were born in Islam, you who were never in Yahudiya or Nasraniya, whatever you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste the reward. Now this verse is saying, وَمَا يَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلَنْ يُكْفَرُوهُ. And then, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُتَّقِينَ. So whatever they do of the good, whatever good deed they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste the reward. So Allah will always reward them, give them reward for their good deeds. And Allah will give us rewards for all our good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah knows more than any other person. Allah knows those who fear Him. Allah knows those who are pious. Allah knows those who are the true mu'minin. So if you did whatever you did for the sake of Allah, Allah knows and He will reward you for it. But we are saying here that if you do a good deed, Allah will never waste the reward. If you do not do that which will waste the reward, then Allah will not waste the reward. But you can waste your reward yourself. For instance, you gave somebody sadaqah, and then later he offended you. He said, it's not your fault. If I had not helped you, you wouldn't have had the power now to even do what you're doing to me. It's my fault because I helped you yesterday. Your reward goes with the wind. لا تبطلوا أعمالكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق كالذي ينفق ماله رياء الناس. Do not do so. When you have helped somebody, you know, there is a very good friend of mine and also my teacher. He's Al-Sheikh Muhammad Al-Halil Al-Amin. Al-Amin Al-Halil. He's also called Abu Abdul Musawwir. Some people call him Abu Khalid, but he doesn't like that. He said that one day he had a very expensive handset. He's a well-to-do person. And so a lot of the things he uses are designer. You can have a handset that will be 250,000 or 320 or 570,000. You can have a car that is 10 million naira. So he had a handset like that, and somebody repairing his car, he's a non-Muslim, saw the handset and said, wow, okay, I wish you could give me this one. He said, take, just give me the SIM card. And that non-Muslim, if he sees Muslims, you say, your Malam is the one that gave me this handset. You people are calling me kafiri and everything every day. See what your Malam is doing. Somebody who is even more pious than you. He gave me a whole this handset. You see how expensive it is. He gave it to me. He was very proud of it. He was talking about it, but he said he cannot use that handset. He has to sell it because it's too expensive for him. He would sell it and get the money to raise some capital. You know, the wristwatches that some people use is the capital that we depend on to feed our family. You know, somebody can use... I saw a wristwatch in Makkah one time. Went to a shop, I was looking at things and I saw a wristwatch. And I saw 37,000 riyals. Say, is this wristwatch, does it give life? 37,000 riyals. Wow. That is at least times 100. How much is that? Times 100. At least, because I think a riyal is about 100 naira now. How much is that? 3 points. Can you imagine that? For a wristwatch. Is that not mad? But to them, it's not mad. Somebody who has 2 billion naira, if he buys something for 3.7 million, it's just like you buying mango for 35 naira. Isn't it? It's like you paying 35 naira or 50 naira for mango. That's how it is to him. Anyway, so he told People now said, you see, you want to sell something that somebody gave to you. So the Malam heard. He said, no. We Muslims, if you give somebody something, it doesn't matter what he does with it. It's no longer your business. You give somebody a car now. Say, okay, I'm giving you this car so that you can be transporting your children to school because I saw that you're suffering with the children. He says, thank you very much. And there before you, he says, who will buy? He sells the car. It's none of your business. To you, he needed the car. To him, he does not. He knows his own problems more than you, doesn't he? Uh-huh. So it's not your business. You have given him, you have given him. What he does with it is his business. It's no longer yours, it's now his. But if he uses it to chase women, you have a right to be worried. You can even ask to buy it back so that he no longer uses it for that. Do we understand? Or something like that. Because now you are worried that he is sinning against Allah with it. But that he does not do what you want with it, but he does something else which is not against the rule of Allah, is none of your business. So you do all of that for the sake of Allah. Because you just want Allah's pleasure, not for any other reason. So if you do not do such things only for Allah's sake, you can waste the reward. If not, good deeds, no matter how small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates them. That's why he's Hamid. That's why he is Hamid. He is very appreciative, and he wants us to be appreciative too. So when you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste it, unless you waste it by yourself. And the worst way to waste your good deed is to commit ridda. You were a mu'min, now you become a kafir. All that you have done has come to waste. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ مَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ حَبِطَتْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. If you commit ridda and you die like that without coming back to Islam, all that you did has been wasted. All that you did has been wasted. If not, the good deeds, no matter how small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them because Allah appreciates good deeds. So we should emulate Allah, no matter how small something good that anybody has done to you is, never forget it. We have a problem as humans. You had a relationship with somebody, for as long as it lasted, there were good things that the person did. Then towards the end, the person did something terrible. Now you will never remember anything good that he did before. It's only the terrible things he has done now that you remember. This is not Iman. And you are not towing the line of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the path of Allah. What Allah teaches us is to appreciate good no matter how small. And even if the person sins against you, commits an offense against you, do not forget the good things. All of us today whom Allah is saying, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلَنْ تُكْفَرُوهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we sin against him. Yet he says the good things we did, he will never forget. Do we understand? So we should also be like that. That way we shouldn't be vindictive. And we shouldn't hold too much malice. We should have a heart that finds it easy to forget. To forget the evil that has been done to us. Let it be. Let it pass. It may be for your own good. If somebody offended you, it may be Allah testing you. And if you pass the test, you'll be better than you were yesterday. So why worry about it? Just let it be one of those things you have to face in life. And move on. May Allah forgive us. Naam, any questions? This one says, why did Allah use masculine gender for the feminine in the Quran, or plural for singular? وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا. And then إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم. فراغ إلى أهله. I need clarification. Which clarification do you need? Do you understand Arabic very well? If you did, you wouldn't be asking these questions. It's as simple as that. If you say, why do you use singular for the plural? Or why do you use plural for the singular? For instance, if I am talking about an elderly man, like our colonel here, I'm talking about him. In Yoruba, let me use a local language. In Yoruba, I'm talking about him and I'm using something to refer to him. Ordinarily, if it were this young man, what would I say? Him, what will I say? No, Iwo, I'm talking directly to him. I'm telling you about him. If I'm talking about Kone, what will I say? But he's one person each. Why am I using different Bama'ir? Because I'm considering the person. Do we understand? So what is strange about that? That he's talking to one person and he says, Kum. It's a known thing to those who know Arabic. So what I advise is, you go and learn the Arabic of the Quran very well. There are books that have been written in which words like that were chosen and explained. There are books that are explaining such issues in the Quran. I do not even have enough knowledge to be able to empty that to you now. And it's not even possible to start that now. But go and learn it gradually. There is no contradiction at all that sometimes for the singular, the plural is used. Like Allah says sometimes, Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharahum. And then some other times, the same Allah will say what? Anni ana al-ghafur al-rahim. He doesn't say, Anna nahnu al-ghafirun or something. He says, Ana al-ghafur al-rahim. He says, Ana. But some other times he says, Inna, nahnu. And you say, why? Why does he use singular sometimes and sometimes plural? If you understood the language, you wouldn't even be asking that question. But what you should look at is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says that, he never says, fa'abuduna. He never says that. So when it comes to that which must be singled out, Allah will always use the singular form. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَأَبُدُونَ أي فَأَبُدُونِي. It's always فَأَبُدُونِي. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He doesn't say فَنَحْنُ أَقْرِبَا or something. Or قَرِيبُونَ or something. No. He says فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. Alone, because only he should be called. Do we understand that? Now, قَالَ نِسْوَةٌ قَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ and so on and so forth. نِسْوَةٌ, plural of females. But he says قَالَ, he doesn't say قَالَتْ, or he doesn't say قُلْنَا or something. That is how Arabic comes. You can't say قُلْنَا نِسْوَةٌ. Can you? Do you say قُلْنَا نِسْوَةٌ? It's not said. So that's how it is in Arabic. Check it anywhere. That's how it is. But if you say قَالَتْ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ, you can say that. So there is nothing wrong in that he says قَالَ نِسْوَةٌ instead of قَالَتْ, because in the first place, قَالَتْ is for the singular. For the plural, it is قَالَ. And there are many examples of that in the Quran. قال الذين كفروا. Isn't it? قال الذين كفروا. Allah says قال, as if it's one person, and say, says الذين كفروا. That is how the Arabic language is built, and so there is nothing wrong with that usage, inshallah ta'ala. This one says, Salamun alaykum, alaykum as-salam. May Allah increase me in knowledge and iman. Ameen wa antum wa iyyakum. My question is, I'm here in Kogi State listening to your live audio tafsir. MashaAllah. Is Allah going to reward me the same with people in the masjid with you? Or no reward for me since I'm not in the masjid with you? You may even get more reward than some people in the masjid. The reward you get depends on the intention and the work you put towards what you're doing. If somebody walked a mile to this mosque and you only had to, you know, log into a particular website and you got it, you did not put as much effort as the other one. So you may not get as much reward. Because for each step that he took, Allah was forgiving his sins and then writing rewards for him. You probably may not have gotten that much effort. Because he made that effort and he also came with the gadget just like you and operated it just like you. So he may get a reward for those efforts that he made more. But then you may have gone through some things too that he did not go through. Also that you listen to this, you also get the reward for that. And inshallah ta'ala, all of you will be rewarded. May all of us be admitted into Al-Jannah as a result of these little efforts that we have made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly for the efforts at least you have made to listen. Like I said in one of my write-ups that I had to put up when there seemed to be crisis and some boys were getting emotional about the fact that we had been moved from the university. I appreciated quite some people for the efforts and the way they have contributed to this tafsir. And the one I said was doing the most work was Da'wah Nigeria. Because through Da'wah Nigeria, the tafsir gets to the world. And now it is live. It doesn't even take time again. Initially, it would be recorded, uploaded, and after some time, people could listen to it. But now, as it is going on now, people all over the world, there are people in Canada, there are people in Ghana, there are people in Cote d'Ivoire, there are people in France, there are people in, you know, like that. Very many parts of the world, even in Saudi, who are listening to this, all at the same time. The efforts that they are making, only Allah knows the sacrifices they make, and only Allah knows the kind of reward that they will get. Probably they will be more rewarded than people who are here listening. Wallahu ta'ala ala. I will not be able to know that. But I pray that everybody be rewarded abundantly. This one says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard and increase you in knowledge and iman. Ameen. And every other Muslim. This is our prayer. If the statement, Rawahu al-Arba'a, ends the hadith, what does it mean? Most of the time, if you hear Rawahu al-Arba'a, it is Rawahu Abu Dawud, wa Tirmidhi, wa Nasa'i, wa Ibn Majah. Especially if Al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani writes Rawahu al-Arba'a in Bulughul Maram. It refers to these four. And most of the time that is how it is. For some person he might include Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi and remove one of these. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But then when they say Al-Arba'a, these are the four that most of the time comes to our mind. Wallahu ta'ala alam. They are called Ashab al-Sunan, even though the Ashab al-Sunan go beyond four. Because there is Sunan al-Darqutni, there is Sunan al-Bayhaqi, and so on and so forth. But a lot of the times when they just say Ahl al-Sunan, Ashab al-Sunan, they're mostly talking about Al-Imam Abu Dawud. And which of the Abu Dawuds, because there are two, which one? When we say Abu Dawud here, which one are we talking about? Because there are two. There's Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, and there's al-Sijistani. Which one? Al-Sijistani. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So this one says, may Allah increase you in knowledge. The one of al-Tayalisi, that one is not even Sunan. That one is what? Musnad. You know it? Do you have it? Huh? You don't have it. Who has it here? Actually, he did not write it. It was compiled on his behalf. But then it is said that it is authentic, that he actually taught it. But it is Musnad. But then he did not personally write it. It was compiled by his students. May Allah increase me in knowledge, and you too. What is the Islamic ruling on a sister giving items such as cooking utensils and financial assistance to a brother that she loves, well known and accepted by the two parties, but the dowry has not been paid yet? Which parties? Their parents? Okay, maybe he means that the parents of the girl accept him. They know him and they accept him as what? Huh? The dowry has not been paid, so they accept you as what? My friend, you better tell yourself the truth. So anything that you do that may lead to fitna between you is haram. Stop it. Simply go to the parents. They accept you. Okay, let them pronounce that you're husband and wife. If they do, that's all. She can do more than just give you a gift. She can do more than giving you only cooking utensils. She can also cook the food for you. Huh? Uh-huh. Because she is now properly your wife. But before then, please avoid all those courtships, because most of the time they lead to fitna. And each time the two of you are secluded, the third of you will be shaitan. And so most of the time, khair will not happen between you. May Allah guide us all. If someone sleeps during Ramadan and wakes up and discovers that he had a wet dream, he ejaculated without any significance of a romantic mood, is that person going to break his fast or continue with it or repay the fast after Ramadan? That you had a wet dream does not vitiate your fast at all. Do we understand? That you had a wet dream does not vitiate your fast at all. In fact, some ulama believe that even if you masturbated and you ejaculated, that your fast is not vitiated. They don't have any reason to say your fast is vitiated. Some say, no, it is vitiated. Because one of the things you do as a fasting person is to fight against your shahwa. Once you have satisfied your shahwa, then they say you are no longer fasting. Because the fasting person denies himself his shahwa. Do we understand? So they say, but if it is while you were sleeping that it happened, that has nothing to do with your fast. All you do is when you wake up, have a ritual bath, and it's finished. Do we understand? Or even if you were awake, without your knowing it, you just ejaculated. Probably because a woman passed and brushed you, and she happened to be the woman that you have been dying to have. And just coincidentally, a sister, she just brushed you, and you saw that she was the one. And before you know it, say, wow, how I wish that were my wife. You know, it happens to young men a lot. And then you find you have ejaculated. That was not deliberate. And so you just have your bath and it will be like saying nothing happened. Huh? This is pidgin English now, isn't it? Okay. Okay, alhamdulillah. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna biha jannatak ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد I hope people know that this tafsir is televised on NTA, I think between 6 and 6:30. Or is it 6:30 to 7? Between 6 and 6:30. So if you have some other people who are not able to come here but they are at home, you advise them to tune in, inshallah. Hopefully we will all benefit. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.